the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The world is turned upside down. It's hard to rank. It's hard to list the things that 3 months ago seemed unfathomable. But literally in March, the world was put on pause. Economically, societally, socially. And in the sports world. Hard stop. No sports. Middle of the season. Preseason. Stop. So who picked up and who dropped off while everybody took time off over the last 3 months? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The last 3 months have been, at least on the field, a total stoppage when it comes to sports. But that hasn't stopped team building and team destruction over the coronavirus layoff. In the last couple of days, it has been announced that Avery Bradley of the Los Angeles Lakers will not participate in a 2020 restart. Today, Willie Cauley-Stein of the Dallas Mavericks said he will not participate in a 2020 restart. And a few days ago, Trevor Ariza of the Portland Trailblazers said he too will not play basketball this year. Each one of those, to varying degrees, inhibiting their team's championship aspirations. Avery Bradley is the most notable name listed right there. The Lakers are a title favorite, if not favorite, in the top three realistic contenders in the NBA. And Avery Bradley had a important role on the Los Angeles Lakers. With him absent, you cannot assume they're just going to pick up exactly where they left off or that they are in better shape than they were before the coronavirus layoff. The Lakers, the Blazers, to a lesser extent, the Dallas Mavericks have had their title hopes diminished. But that's not the case for everyone. Some teams have seen their title aspirations actually go up. This layoff has been beneficial to some, and I'm not just talking about in basketball. Think about the biggest beneficiaries of the sports world coming to a stop over the last 3 months. If you were making any list of teams that have benefited during this time, and to some extent because of this time, it would look like this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to be winners of the coronavirus layoff. They scored Tom Brady. And as a result of that, they brought in other free agents. Do we think that the fact that national travel was completely shut down, right as NFL free agency kicks off, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were beneficiaries in signing Tom Brady? The answer has to be yes. What if he'd flown to Las Vegas? What if he'd had a conversation, even to Indianapolis with Frank Reich? What if he had taken trips, which he did not, to several different franchises and was wooed, won over? Well, the Buccaneers would have lost. By virtue of getting him, it shows they won. Those other teams lost. Now, we can have arguments about whether or not the Colts and Frank Reich prioritized Phillip Rivers over Brady. We'll honestly never know the answer to that. We will always be able to debate how serious the Raiders were in their pursuit of Tom Brady, but there's no doubt that many teams wanted to talk, wanted to visit, wanted to fly in, wanted to sign Tom Brady. The Bucs were the team that pulled it off, and the fact that he couldn't fly around benefited them. They're one of your big winners. Who else? How about this? Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. They're winners, at least in terms of their Philadelphia 76ers career. If this season had gone on and the Sixers had fallen short, you could have looked at a situation where the Sixers came to the realization that maybe this formula doesn't work. Maybe these two guys together have to be broken up. Whether or not it would Embiid or Simmons, I think the likelihood of them getting traded would have increased. But now, no matter how 2020 turns out, you're going to have a shortened off season. 2021 season will be delayed a little bit. It'll be harder to pull off a trade, at least preseason. It'll be harder for the Sixers to move forward with a new version of their team. They're much more likely, in my estimation, to roll it right back out there with Embiid and Simmons. I think that project, the Embiid-Simmons project for the Sixers, has been a beneficiary of this entire process. But you want to know who's probably the biggest beneficiary of the coronavirus pandemic? The Houston Astros. What were we talking about in February? What was the story in baseball? It was Astros cheating scandal. Poof. Gone. Nobody's talking about it. To the extent we're even talking about baseball, we're talking about it coming back. And can you imagine coming back for a 60-game season and players are going to prioritize plunking Jose Altuve when he's at bat? I don't think they'd even, much less prioritize it, think it's appropriate to do in this environment. I think all the revenge, all the animosity in baseball all of a sudden takes such a far back seat that you forget. Everybody hated the Astros a few months ago. They were going to take action. If baseball didn't police it, baseball would police itself. The Astros were public enemy number one, and all of a sudden they're not. And even if there's memories in baseball players, they're not going to act on them. Not in 2020. Nobody even wants to be out there, much less getting vengeance. You can make an argument for other beneficiaries of the coronavirus layoff. You could say, essentially, the 4 through 8 contenders in the NBA are all going to be beneficiaries. It's going to be more unpredictable, more chaos, thus not just your top 3 seeds, the Bucks, the Clippers, and the Lakers, with a likelihood to win, an expanded contender pool. So 4 through 8 among your contenders, they're beneficiaries. But there is no bigger beneficiary than the Houston Astros. I talked to you earlier about Bubba Wallace and the information that came out today that showed the garage pull cord in his garage was fashioned into the noose, and this changes, I guess, so many people's opinions of the way this was handled. I don't see how it changes it. P.I., who often calls in, wants to debate me on this. What's up, P.I.?
What's going on, Will? Can you hear me? What?
Yeah, man, I got you.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, that picture didn't change my opinion. The fact that the picture is what it is the problem in the first place. But let me talk to you about what I want to talk about, which I've been listening to you the last couple of days, talked to a couple of calls.
You there, P.I.?
No, he dropped.
Dropped? Not just broke up, dropped? Call back in, P.I.
He's gone.
You know we'll talk. Let me go to Trey in Ohio. What's up, Trey? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, Will.
Hey,
I just wanted to make a comment about what you said about wanting to be judged and judging people as individuals. And while I agree that is ideal for everybody, and that would be ideal, like for people of color in this country, you don't always get that opportunity. Like, I feel like we get grouped into these broad categories and almost have to earn the right to be viewed as an individual. So right now, it seems like maybe you and other people are upset because for the first time, you're kind of also getting grouped into these broad categories and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But what about the individual where, and that's uncomfortable because for the most part, you have been able to judge and, you know, be judged as an individual. So it kind of has been a privilege just a little bit for you to be able to do that. And I do agree that it would be great if we could all do that ideally, but that's just not really the case in this country.
Trey, let me ask you two questions. Would it, you just said it, so I guess I'm essentially asking you to repeat it. Would it be the right course for Americans, for human beings, to view each other as individuals regardless of race, creed, religion, sexuality, and gender? Would it be the right place and the right thing to do for everyone to judge each other as individuals?
Yeah, I think it would be ideal.
Yeah, so then my next question is, do we believe that two wrongs make a right?
I don't believe two wrongs make a right necessarily, no, but you also have to kind of deal with reality. The reality is that we don't.
But that's my whole point,
Trey. Individuals.
But Trey, I don't debate you on that point. And I don't, that's when it starts to get circular. Like, first of all, I have never denied that racism exists in this country presently or through its history. I've never denied that African Americans have been denied their dignity or being viewed as individuals at various points in this history. All I've said is the way to extinguish that terrible sin is to do just that, to treat every person as an individual. But the argument being made back to me is, well, black people in their past haven't been able to or haven't been afforded that privilege, so therefore we should do away with the concept of individualism. And that doesn't make any sense to me, Trey.
Well, I don't think anybody's asking us to do away with the concept. I think what people are asking, and maybe they get lost in your argument is, or they want you to recognize a little bit more, is that it's just the fact that that is not how it works. It's not there's no history saying that it's going to work that way or it ever will work that way.
Yeah, but what's your answer then? To break up into our tribes and castigate each other according to our skin color? Or is it for us all to do, once again, the best we can to view each other as individuals? See, I don't get it. Like,
have to do the best you can while recognizing that we haven't done it in the past, we aren't doing it currently.
But those aren't mutually exclusive.
When things like a noose is, or what appeared to be a noose are found in a garage, it is fair for the American public, for the media to assume the worst because that's what history has provided us with. That's the example. So yeah. It's fair to assume the worst, and I don't think it's fair to assume the worst. I think you do recognize it, but I just think you want to champion the fact that, you know, that's how it should be ideally, we don't live in an idealistic society. We never have. We never will. It's just.
I get it, Trey. I mean, can we recognize the past without having being beholden to it, without emulating its same sins? Can't we do that? Can't we try to hold principles that are eternal through the decades, even if we failed to live up to them in the past? Shouldn't we, in fact, do that? Or is what we do assume the worst of each other? Group each other. Oh, this region is racist. Oh, this race of people is racist. How does that get us down the path that you just agreed to me as eventually seeing each other as individuals? How does that work? How do we do exactly what we're not supposed to do in order to get us to the place we want to get? It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Coming up, we had a psychic on the show a few months ago, and she predicted the future of, well, several things. Let's bring her back and see what the future holds. That's next on The Will Cain Show.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Well, somebody saw this coming. I'm not talking about the whole 2020 thing. I'm talking about me leaving ESPN. Somebody knew this months ahead of time. Or something like that. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can always join the conversation at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. A couple of months ago, guys, why did we do this? Well, I can't remember why we wanted to bring a psychic into the show in the first place. What was the...
So apparently you had heard our radio show might have done it out in L.A. when it was in Vegas about Tom Brady. So we're like, hey, yeah, you know what? This would be a great idea. Let's do this. So Mike reached out and then was pointed towards Lily Bet. And actually, we want to play something because this is kind of how the introduction went on that segment between you and her.
Lily Bet of Lily Bet's Divinity Life. She's a psychic, and this is how it went. Okay.
Because I pick up energy.
Oh, can you do it over the phone?
Yeah, definitely.
You can pick up energy over the phone, huh?
Yeah.
What kind of energy am I giving off right now?
Naughty energy, kind of.
Oh, my.
That's what you guys wanted to play?
Yes. So yeah. Within that conversation, there was three things that, right?
Lily Bet made predictions on.
Correct.
Yes.
One was, where would Tom Brady go? And to be fair, Mike didn't. She thought the 49ers... There was some question because Mike never gave her the option of Tampa possibly in there, right?
In my defense, if you look at the board, the chalkboard in the Will Cain studio, which will forever be as it is, it's not one of the 10 teams we had predicted that Tom Brady would go to.
Okay, but she did predict that I had big changes in store.
Yes, there was a lot of energy. You're not going to regret anything. There were some big, big changes in store for you.
That's right.
The third thing was,
Bubba's going to find love.
Yeah, like, I'm screwed and Bubba's going to find love.
Yeah, because it was a question between Nuno and I. It wasn't just, like, generically about me.
Yeah, so let me get straight. She's one for one. She got Brady wrong, she got me right, and Bubba's hanging in the balance. Will Bubba find love? I would say right now, Bubba, it's looking pretty good. Lily
Beth. Well, last we heard, I think Mike communicated with her after, and she checked back in and said, due to the virus, because originally it was this summer, basically
right.
Now, but she said due to the virus, it's now been pushed to next winter. So I don't know if it's been pushed back because of, you know, the updated phase and all that stuff. I don't know if it's next spring or where we're at, but.
And well, you already know this person.
Let's find out. Oh, that's right. He knows his love interest. Yes. Lily Bet's on the phone, right? Lily Bet of Lily.
Yeah, I guess
Bet's.
We could just talk to her.
Yes, we'll
yeah, Lily Bet's Divinity Life. Lily Bet's on the phone. Hi, Lily Bet.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me on again.
You bet. How do you feel? So I think, you know, you're one for one or one for two right now, right? I mean, you got me right. Tomorrow's my last day at ESPN.
I know.
Thanks for that one, Lily Bet.
We were all watching Tom Brady very closely, including me. Mm-hmm. My future was still in the balance at that time. In March, free agency, and I was like, well, if Lily Beck gets Tom Brady right, then buckle up. Bubba's about to fall in love, and I'm going to have a career change. He didn't. He went to the Bucks. But you were still right about me.
mm-hmm. Well, I was kind of right about Tom Brady, too, because you asked me, was he going to stay with the Patriots? And I said, absolutely not.
You did say that. That's mm-hmm. true. You got him yeah. leaving the Patriots. Just got his landing spot wrong. And I
yeah.
understand you. So yes, you got me right. I'm leaving ESPN after tomorrow. Tomorrow's my last show. I'll be talking about in the coming weeks what I have in store, where I'm going, what I'm going to do. But fair to say it's a big change. So you got that one right, Lily Bet. So mm-hmm. what do we do mm-hmm. now? We got to figure out Bubba, Lily. What you said he's going to find love. When's this going to happen?
Oh, Bubba. I feel like in the winter, because of all the things that are going on with the coronavirus, I see it's in the winter. But I still think it's someone that you either know now or you're going to get to know between now and the winter.
And it's somebody he knows?
Yeah, that's all the options, yeah. Lilibet.
Mm-hmm. It could be. I saw it when I spoke to you then that it was someone that you knew.
Right, right. All right. Interesting.
What do you mean, Pat? It's between now and winter. So by winter,
no,
Bubba's going to have a love interest.
She said it's either someone he knows or someone he'll get to know, which is both.
Yeah,
that's all the options for how we would fall in love.
What's Pat's future there, Lily?
I'm picking up like it could be someone that so a friend of yours will like introduce you to this person. It could be someone that they introduce you to.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah, but it's almost like someone that you kind of knew already, but
right.
they're going to finally introduce you, really introduce you to this person, and then you get to know them.
Right.
Hmm. My wife's got single friends.
I'm just thinking, who does he kind of know already, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can make a lot of jokes right now, but every one of them, my little red flag's going off, don't do that, Will. hey, Lily Bet. I don't think he was here last time. I want to introduce you to Pat.
Pat.
You say hi to Lily Bet. Give her a little energy, okay? Give her some energy so she can read you.
Hi, Lily Bet. I was a bouncer once.
No.
Okay.
That's
no,
not
wrong,
your
wrong energy.
That's not energy. Your energy. Stop saying
that's not the
Pat.
Energy. Wrong energy? Okay. Sorry, guys.
Pat's kind of annoying and young and abrasive.
Ouch, man.
He likes to spoil movies.
Yeah. What do you want to ask Lily Bet about your future, Pat? What do you want to ask her about your future?
I mean, I'd like to know when I was going to find love.
Oh.
You're a very busy person, Pat. You. I pick up the energy from you that you're very, very busy.
What's that sound? Are you plugging it into a machine, Lily Bet? Do you have like a future telling machine?
Yeah, like I feel like he wants to do like a lot of stuff that, you know, a lot of stuff, like his life is very busy.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He's definitely a busy guy. He's definitely. I mean, not socially, but work-wise. A
lot of bay breezes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Lily Bet.
He'll find love.
Not let me ask you, Bubba.
I'm
let
getting me ask it. You, go ahead.
Will the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl within the next 3 years, Lily Bet?
Yeah, let's get to the important stuff.
You don't want to know about Pat.
No, I don't care about Pat. I want to know about the Cowboys.
They will. They will if they change something that has to do with their players. That's Ooh. What I picked up from that.
New quarterback.
They need a new quarterback.
Yeah, almost like they have to change somebody or something for them to get there. But wow. I got two, so I see it like it could maybe happen in 2 years.
In 2 years, the Cowboys win the Super Bowl.
Right about the time the franchise tag runs out. Huh?
New quarterback.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, Lilibet, you said my future, big things to come. Good things. Good big things. That's what yes. you said, I feel.
Yes. You made a good choice.
I did.
You made a good choice for what you want to do. You made a good choice. And right. and it's very promising for you. Very promising.
Nice. Well, Lilibet, we were impressed. We'll see about this Bubba Love thing. We're going to be watching that. But Lilibet of Lilibet's Divinity Life, she's one for two. She's batting 50. She's batting 500, which puts her into the Hall of Fame in baseball right here. All right, Lilibet. Really good to check in with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. I always have fun with you guys.
All right. Take care. All right, Bubba. Between now and winter, somebody you know or will soon get to know or somebody will introduce you to.
Yeah. All options are on the table. It's all we know is it's not someone who
you'll never know.
Oh, you yeah. might know this person.
Yeah,
you might have been around them before, but like you really don't know them.
Yeah.
One of your friends.
We got to go. I'm up against the break. We can keep going with the psychic talk, and we will. Plus, I should have asked her this. Where will Antonio Brown, or will he ever play again? Because two teams were reportedly interested in him. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Coming up in about 10 minutes on The Will Cain Show, some of our greatest hits over the last 2.5 years. Plus, we'll talk about which roster is the best in the NFL in the third hour of The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. Talked earlier about Bubba Wallace, last couple of days about Bubba Wallace. And P.I. is on the Shell Pinzo Performance Line. Hopefully your connection's better this time, P.I.
Time, I don't think the universe wanted me to call you today. I don't know why, but we're talking anyway. They can't stop us.
We got you.
All right. So just I'm going to jump into it, okay? I don't really like some of the semantics going on with you a little bit, so I'm going to kind of try to address it. You can come back at me if you want to. So you keep using the word falsehood, right? Nobody lied about anything, so let's call it lies. If you want to say a false statement was made, it wasn't.
Well, that's why I'm saying falsehood. That's why I'm not using the word lie.
Well, that's why I don't like semantics like that. Like, falsehood sounds like somebody lied. And if you're going to say that you can't follow a movement.
I'm purposely choosing that word.
Let me finish real quick.
But I'm purposely being accurate in the words I choose.
Okay, so you can't follow a movement because something in a statement that was made was false, even though all of the other things are going on. That's kind of my overreaching point that I'm going to get at with you real quick. Right. So the problem was that statement made it seem like there was some really uber aggressive racism going on in NASCAR, which nobody said in the first place. We think there's some really racist people there, but there was a noose and you saw it and someone should have called the cops. The statement was bad, but guess what, Will? That's NASCAR's problem. It's not Bubba Wallace's problem. So stop making it the Bubba Wallace saga. He didn't do anything wrong.
Tom,
okay, go ahead. Time right there.
But you're just going at things I didn't do. And I
yes,
can,
you
I
did.
Can, hold on, P.I.
You call it the Bubba Wallace saga.
Well,
that's what I'm talking about.
That's not a backhanded way thing I'm doing. I'm not. From day one, I have never gone at Bubba Wallace as a human being. In fact, I said Bubba Wallace was not center to this. Bubba Wallace seemed to have been.
I didn't say that either, though.
But Then don't twist it into I'm going at Bubba Wallace.
No, I'm not twisting it. I said submit. I told you from the jump. I don't like these submit. I don't like the words that you're using. If you want to come back at me, you can. I'm telling you. I've been listening to you for about 4 or 5 days on this. And you keep saying Bubba Wallace. But Bubba Wallace hasn't done anything. Talk about NASCAR. Because what I'm telling you is you're putting NASCAR's problem, NASCAR's mistake, onto Bubba Wallace by constantly saying you're constantly saying his name. Just say NASCAR. They made a mistake. And we all can agree on that. They went too
why?
Far.
Why? It's such a weird thing all
mean,
of a sudden,
why?
Like, to be such a stickler about the words in which I framed this story,
you
but not about
the
facts
time.
Of the case. Like, the facts of the case, hey, who gives a damn? But the way you're saying calling this Bubba Wallace story.
No. What about the facts of the case that were wrong except that NASCAR made a bad statement? Everything else was right. And you would agree on that. Nothing else in this problem, nothing else wrong, Will, except that statement.
It wasn't a hate crime.
You are jumping
it wasn't a hate crime.
About it. Okay,
it wasn't a hate
statement.
Crime.
That has nothing to do with Bubba Wallace. That was a statement. That's about the statement that was made. I said that. The statement was wrong. It was way too aggressive. I'm a huge NASCAR fan. As a black dude, one of the few, because I love cars. I love engines, baby. I'm an engineer. NASCAR and Indy have me hooked. So I thought it was over the top. When they made it, I knew they did it. They stepped in it. It was too much. Because that's
so what are we in? So what are we disagreeing on then?
Problem.
So what are we disagreeing
okay,
on? The fact that I called it the Bubba Wallace situation?
Yes, because what you're doing is you're putting the weight of NASCAR's issue onto Bubba Wallace, and you're even taking it to the point where you have disavowed almost a full movement because a white company made a bad statement. You're taking
what
it
movement?
That far.
What movement?
What do you mean, what's the movement? The movement that you're saying that everybody who's talking about is so weak. This whole racist thing that everything, you turn it, everything that you say now, everybody's making you a racist. You keep talking about lumping people into stuff. Stop lumping yourself into stuff. Just like you told Jason Fitz, when he says media, when you say media, you're not particularly talking about him. So when we say people who have their agendas, we might not be talking about Will Cain if Will Cain isn't a racist. Those people who are racist should take it as that because you're doing the same thing you keep
talking
about.
Well, I don't even know who we're talking about here.
Time.
I'm talking about the people
you,
directly calling me racist. I got plenty of direct accusations
you,
of that.
You do, but not, but. But your biggest word is everybody. I tell you all the time, man.
I can't
social
hear you,
media
what?
Isn't the world, dude. I listen
I got
to you all
man.
The time. It's offensive that you keep saying that. But I got a couple other things I just want to get to real quick.
All right, hustle. We're running out of time. Go ahead.
I'm run through it real quick. The individual change thing, right? That's the last thing I just want to get into.
Yeah.
Somebody said it before. It's like utopia. But, Will, it's not utopian. That's lazy. And I tell you why. Because if all you're going to do is sit back and wait for everyone in their own household to change, that means that you're okay with nothing ever changing. You're never willing to actually fight through the fact that they don't want to change, and we have to sometimes make them. I just want to give it to you real quick. You talk about the truth and all this cool stuff. Tell you a quick story. I was 16 years old. You know me a little bit now. I was 16 years old. I was starting to get a little bad, Will. Started doing crazy stuff. I remember the first time I was ever in the courtroom. First time I got arrested, driving a stolen car. My first criminal offense ever. I've never been in a fight. I'm a straight-A student. I was around the wrong people doing the wrong things at the time. I remember like it was yesterday. This lady who knew me not at all, who wore a shield, just like the police in the courtroom, said to the judge that I'm another one of these misfits out here that don't know how to behave, and they need to be locked up and thrown away. Put them in jail for 30 days. I could not believe I heard a person who have never seen me before, who knew nothing about me, knew no truth of me, that I'd never stolen a car. I just was driving cars, being a stupid young jit, told
a
judge
what'd
that
you do?
Put
why
my
were you
life
there?
In that type of hands.
No, you didn't steal the car?
So when you talk about individuals, I can't wait for her to change. The system, which is why we call systemic racism, has to change, and you have to find places where you fit to help fight it. You can't just wait for people. There has to be overall change, not just individuals. From the top, the laws have to change. The way people look at other people in courtrooms, in places of power, has to change. The way police have to change because they're in power. It's not just the individuals in the society.
Right.
There are people who are in power, specific people. And you can't just hope that their heart is right when you put your child's life in their hands. You cannot just hope that individuals will be better and will be looking for the utopia. You, as my friend, have
right,
to help me fight
listen.
Through the barriers. And that's the
listen.
Only way we can do it. That's what I believe. Individualism
don't hang
is lazy.
Up. I'm going to respond. I'm going to respond.
Go
then we're going to take a commercial break. And if you have another response on the other side of the commercial break, then we'll do that. I'm not going to get mad like I did last time and before the commercial break. I can't. Well, I might. Let's see how it goes. First, I have never said that there are no systemic changes that we need to make. I have, by the way, this is a sports radio program, so I don't often delve into these exact issues which change in society, need to change in society, but there are some that I've specifically invested in. Among those, chief for me, is educational disparities in this country. That educational disparities are directly tied to zip code, and in many zip codes, the school system is a death sentence, if not death sentence, a life of poverty sentence for children of color. That's a fact. And you want to make a big impact society? Start there. But I think the game has been rigged. The game as far as how you make progress in society. This movement that you act as though it's an official type thing that I'm undercutting has largely been defined right now as an externally focused point and yell racist movement. Meaning, if I don't do that, then I'm not trying to make it better. When once again, we don't know the actions that I'm a part of or that I care about or that I invest in, but I also know that doesn't matter. That didn't matter in 2020. What matters is, did you call the last thing racist? That's the currency. That's what has to be done. And that's what crops up in sports media over and over again. Educational disparities don't crop up in sports media. But yelling this about the OK symbol or Bubba Wallace's garage, that's what defines our supposed racial enlightenment, our willingness to yell racist at other things. And that's a game that I think is crap. And you've got to do better. You've got to do better about defining who your allies and true progress seekers are in society than simply people willing to yell racist at other people. And if that's continuing to be the game, I will continue to say we will look at the facts. Every single instance, just like we would in a criminal case, just like we would in any type of accusation, be it a Me Too accusation or a racist accusation, we will look at the facts every step of the way. That's how I'm built. That's what I will do. That's what I think my job is. And that's what I think a good human being does. And I'll do it every step of the way until this whole thing is over. As to how we make change, yes, I just identified some of the systemic things that have to change, but I will never sit here and allow that the way to solve individual instances of racism is to lump each other into groups. And if you don't think that's going on in society right now, you're simply not paying attention. Individual accountability, not externally focused, yelling racist at each other accountability. Every time somebody does it, they have an excuse not to look internally. They think that if they point and look at somebody else, they absolve anything that's inside themselves. I don't know how that is controversial. I'll let P.I. respond, and we'll have some fun coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
I don't know if I'm going to have time to play one of the greatest hits we might here on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, but I always want to give P.I. a chance to respond. P.I., you heard what I just said in response to you. I can't recap it. I don't even remember what I said at this point. That's what happens when you speak. Sometimes, man, when you get passionate, you know, there's times when you say something and you actually know what you want to say and you write it down. At least I do in bullet points. I'm going to hit this, this, and this. And then there are times you just, it just comes, you know, and I don't even know what I just said. I kind of know, but go ahead. I can't recap it for the audience. That's the point.
I wish you could recap it for me because I can't remember half of what you said either through that commercial break. I got stuff on the paper. I don't remember what I said. but I guess I did write one thing down. And I guess, what would you like for us to do, Will? I guess is kind of the way I want to put it. Like, if you just could imagine, right, if like right now 80% of the country is racist, are we supposed to just sit back and wait for their individual hearts to change? Like, I think what are we supposed to do? I'm not saying it's even close to that number.
I was going to say, is that what you think the answer is?
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. Of course. But what I'm saying is, if it's 30%, if it's 20%, are we supposed to say it doesn't affect us enough so to not fight through whatever we have to do to get it out, period? Like, what would you suggest? Because that's my main thing.
I think I keep, a couple of things.
Like, finding myself like, damn, what does Will people want people to do on a day-to-day basis? Not like this, oh, be individual. No, like, seriously. Like,
okay, can I say three things?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Number one, you fight for law changes, as you pointed out a moment ago, that can have real tangible impact. And for me, keep us maintained to the principles that made this country unique. Educational opportunities that are of equal access and And you can never achieve equal outcomes, but equal opportunity and equal access. That would be number one. And also, I would look at criminal justice system. I would look at sentencing, some of which we've already addressed. Sentencing reform, on some various criminal laws over our history that have had, disparate and sometimes discriminatory impact on African Americans versus other individuals. That's number one. Number two, yes, it has, in a lot of it has to do beyond the foundational legal stuff is a change of heart. You have to have people's hearts change. Either, I guess, those that you think are either indifferent to it or those that are callous to it. The ones that are probably intrinsically racist, they're unsalvageable. They're unsavable, right? But, I don't think, this is my whole point, PI. You're not going to win those change of hearts by telling people that they're racist when they're not, or telling them this is racist when it's not, like what happened with Bubba Wallace's or NASCAR situation in Talladega. That is not going to represent progress. And number three is just go live our best lives and show people, like what you talked about earlier with that guard or that courtroom
prosecutor
cop.
What? Yeah,
you said she had a badge. Prosecutor. I thought it was a cop.
No, he's a prosecutor. Like, you know, they wear badges too.
You know what the best rebuttal to that person? Yeah. The best rebuttal to that person, and honestly, the one's more persuadable and impactful than anything is the life that you've gone on to show. Just as a man of action, look what I did. Look what I achieved. I'm a freaking robotic engineer. That's just the
right.
Most, I don't think you appreciate how powerful that is. I really don't.
I do. I think you don't understand that. I do. No, I call you because I know how powerful, like, my story is. I've been through hell and back, and I'm here. But I know a lot of my little soldiers that they're not going to make it. They're not as smart as I am. I'm one of the brightest people that most people are ever going to meet, and I know that for a fact. That's why I can call you and argue with you. I know you're one of the brightest people most people probably ever meet. I'm a unique person. I know there's way more people that have fallen that didn't make it through those
we're gonna run
couple
out of time.
Days
it's
locked
gonna
up.
Hit you. It's the heartbreak's going to hit us both, okay? I'll talk to you tomorrow. Does that sound good?
Okay, cool, man.
All right, there he goes. I'll talk to P.I. again tomorrow on the last day. More Will Cain Show next.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.